الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته We are almost concluding the صفة الصلاة by the Shaykh Abd al-Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahmahullahu ta'ala. The Shaykh deliberately did not mention some things because some of these things are things that fall under Sunnah and scholars differ on them. And the Shaykh rahmahullahu ta'ala tried to make the book as brief as possible. So the way most scholars who write books so that the beginners can benefit. As I said, most of these things will go back to Sifat Salat al-Nabi of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. We get them here. Though the Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala might take some position, but some other scholars might disagree with him. So as students of knowledge, you have to compare between the two positions and stick to the one that is more convincing to one, rather than being a kind of doing ta'assub for one scholar against the other. Some of the issues that the author did not mention is the issue of, we are almost true, so you are supposed to take فَإِذَا فَرَغَ مِنْ صَلَاتِ if he finishes a salah, استَكْفَرَ ثَلَاثَ you say أَسْتَكْفِرُ اللَّهِ three times وَقَالْ and you say اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. This is based on the hadith of Thawban as reported by Imam Muslim رحمه الله تعالى ورضي الله عن الصحابي الجليل. If the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم finished or if the one praying finishes his salah, Istighfara salata, you do astighfirullah three times. This is based on the hadith of Thawban, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he had made taslim, he would say, astighfirullah, 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 istighfara salata, you do astighfirullah three times. Then after that, he would say, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya zal jalali, wal ikram. This is what is established in the Sunnah, contrary to what a lot of our babas who ask, what are alayta and things like that. So these ones are not established. So the one that is established, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya zal jalali wal ikram. So this is established. The hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha also said something similar, but without the inclusion of astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. So, meaning it is better, after you have made the sleep, to say astaghfirullah 3 times. Because that one is worth addition from the hadith of Thawban. Then after that, la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. لا إله إلا الله ولا نعبد إلا إياه لو نعمة ولو الفضل ولو الثناء الحسن لا إله إلا الله مخلصين له الدين ولو كره الكافرون. He is also part of the adhkar to be done after taslim. And this is based on the hadith of Al-Mughira bin Shu'ba رضي الله عنه. Then, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar, salatan wa salatin. To say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, 33 times. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wallahu akbar, salatan wa salatin. Wa yakul la ila illallah wahdahu la sharika law, lawul mulk wa lawul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, tamaman mi'ah, to complete it 100. So this is what the author brought here. Now some issues, as I said earlier, were dropped, we didn't mention them. So who can remind us some of the things that were not talked about, particularly towards the end of the salah that were not discussed by the Sheikh Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Now, what do you think you are supposed to mention? In what has been explained so far that you have not mentioned? Nobody? That is between the tashahud, the taslim, maybe the sitting, how to sit and things like that. How to do your tashahud that are not mentioned? Nobody. The last sitting, let's take it from the last sitting. We have talked about the how to sit. In the last tashahud. Who can remind us of that? How do we sit in the last tashahud? Tawarruk. You say tawarruk? What is tawarruk? Who can show us tawarruk and display tawarruk? Now, tawarruk is you sit with your buttocks. You sit on your buttocks and you raise your right leg, your toes on the ground, your leg raised, your foot, your right foot raised with your toes on the ground, and the left leg comes out at what? Towards the area of your right. So this is one description. Is there any other description? Any other description? Both legs. Both legs. Watch. Instead of raising the right, you watch. You place it down. You do farsh. You do what? Farsh of the leg. That is, you put the right leg down as if you are putting down a bed. Then the left also will come that way. So both of them will be facing the same direction, so to say. So this is also called what? Tawarruk. Now I mentioned a third one. What is that? The left foot will come out. So it will be what? Between the what? Bain al-Fakhzi wa Saq. Between the Fakh, that is the Taq, and what? And the Saq, and the Shank. Between that, that is, it won't come out. These are three ways of doing at work. So whichever one you do, so it's okay. If it is with respect to the last tashahud, according to the Hanabila or the Shafi'iyya. The Shafi'iyya, any time you are going to do taslim, the type of sitting that you are supposed to sit is what? Tawarruk. The Hanabila, they say, if you have two sittings in a prayer, so definitely the last one, the last of the two sittings, is going to be what? Tawarruk. So the position of the Hanabila and the Shafi'iyya are what? Somehow similar. Only that in the case of the Shafi'iyya, even if it is two rakah salah, as long as you are going to do taslim, after that, you do what? You do tawarruk. So don't be surprised when you see somebody observing salah to strictly. And is what? He's doing tawarruk. If you see such a person, that is on the madhab of the Shafi'iyya. On the madhab of the Hanabila, he would do iftirash. That is, he would play the left leg like a bed and sit on it with his buttocks. Then he would raise the right leg. This is what iftirash. So, according to the Hanabila, you only do tawarruk if you have two or so sittings, and the last one that is the second tashahud. So we are going to do it. This is according to the Hanabila. As for the Malikiya, who can remind us of their position? What is the position of the Malikiya with respect to sitting? So the Malikiya, all the sitting in Salah is what? Tawarruk. Why the Hanafiya, yeah, sitting is what? Iftirash. All are first, second, all the sitting is iftirash. At another stage, we said all the sitting, if you sit, if you sit this one or you sit this, your salah is sahiha. But we are talking about which one is the sunnah. So we want to go by the hadith of Abu Humayd al-Sa'idi, where he described the salah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The position of the Hanabila appears to be the strongest. The position of the Hanabila appears to be the strongest. However, the one who does the other way or does any of the sittings, even if somebody does ikah, the ikah that is sunnah, not the ikah, the other ikah. You said we have two types of ikah. Who can tell us the two types of ikah that you have? One is sunnah, the other is not sunnah. Sitting on the heels. Okay. Is that one sunnah or not? It's sunnah. To sit on the two heels. But this is said to be done between what? Between two sajda. Let's assume somebody does it in what? In tashahud al-awwal or the last tashahud. He has salah. Only that he has left the sunnah. What is abdul? He has left it. Which one is not okay in the sunnah that is makruha to do or prohibited, so to say? I have to sit with your buttocks and what? Your legs are raised up. So this is what? The kind of ikra. Now which one we call tarabbur? Tarabbur. We call tarabbur. We call one tarabbur. Which one is tarabbur? To sit cross-legged. To sit what? Cross-legged. You sit with your buttocks and you cross the what? You cross the legs. You place one of the legs on the other. This is what? Tawarruk. So you can do that in different forms. But the issue is that what? You sit on your buttocks and you cross the leg, the one leg on the other. So some of us, like the way my brother is seated, this is a form of what? This is tarabbur. So if you sit and watch, you stretch your leg forward and you put one on the other. This is also what? Tarabbur. Like this. This is a form of what? Tarabbur. So different things. So this is not okay. But if there is a necessity for that, as Aisha radiallahu anha said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got a point, you suddenly mutarabbi'an. So this is what the ticket of Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. So I think the issue of sitting is clear. So when you see somebody sitting in a way contrary to what you have read, you know how to approach. Don't be harsh on people. So they have what, where some of them are coming. So you can just discuss the issue on which one is better, which one is there. Now another thing is when you are in sujood, when you are in sujood, how do you do sujood? Who can do sujood? Let's see. Sujood. Okay. Now if you look at the way our brother has done the sujood, the area I'm going first is he has placed the 2 feet together. The 2 feet. He brings them together. So this is what most of us will do. As we read it in what? Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi. However, a lot of scholars are of the opinion that this is not the Sunnah. This is not the Sunnah. A lot of scholars are looking at what? This is not the Sunnah. What? Which one is the Sunnah? They said the Sunnah is to continue with what you have been doing. What is that? You distance your stomach, so to say, your belly from where? From your thighs. You distance your hands and your arms from where? From your sides. You get it? So they expect that what you are going to do is for you to also distance the 2 legs, the 2 feet, in distance them. Because with this, you'll be able to do it properly. So this is what a lot of scholars will say. You see in Al-Mughni and many other books like that. However, some scholars are of the opinion that we do it the way we are used to. Why? They said it is based on 2 hadith. The first one, though they are the same hadith, but with, let's say, 2 different reports. The first report is that one that was reported by Imam Muslim, that Aisha radiallahu anha said, فَقَطُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَيْلَةَ مِنَ الْفِرَاشِ. That is, one night I could not see the Messenger of Allah, or I couldn't find him on the bed. فَالْتَمَسْتُ, she said what? فَالْتَمَسْتُ, I was looking for the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, فَوَقَعَتْ يَدِي عَلَى بَطْنِ قَدَمَيْهِ. فَوَقَعَتْ يَدِي عَلَى بَطْنِ قَدَمَيْهِ. My aunt now fell on what? On the inside, so to say, or the inner part of his two what? Qadamayhi, 2 feet. So I will conclude here, how could a hand have fallen on the two inner part, so to say, of the Prophet Allah, and the feet of the Messenger of Allah, not the outer part, the inner. You know, when somebody is doing sujood, the guy saying that, and look, how should I translate that? And that's the soul, yes. Let's say the soul, so of the Messenger of Allah. For somebody's hand to have fallen or touched both, it means both of them are what together. So this is one inference or deduction from that. So Shaykh Al-Azman Rahimahullah Ta'ala did this. And there is one that is clearer than that. The one that is clearer than that is the one that was reported by Ibn Khuzaymah and some others. So here, she said that Messenger of Allah, she saw him in sujood, Rasun Aqibayhi. Rasun Aqibayhi. What is Aqib? Aqib is ill. So Rasun Aqibayhi, that is the 2 ills I watch, are together. This one is clear. So this is where Sheikh Al-Albani and some others, he said what? Rasul Aqibayhi, to bring the 2 ills together. So is what? Is a sunnah. So that's why a lot of us, when we do sujood, we bring the 2 ears together. Now those scholars, they have comments on this. They said the first one, it is not necessary that when we say somebody touches another person's feet, the inner part of the feet or the soles, somebody touches the sole of another person, the two soles, it's not compulsory that the two soles are together. So your hand is long. So your hand can watch. Can what? Can cover the two. He said, you will, because of this hadith, throw away what you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam watch with distance its stomach, distance its side. So if you distance your side, your hands from your side, your stomach from your what is it called? Your thighs or your thighs, you distance that. So what would be expected is for you to also distance what? Your two legs from one another. With that, you'll be able to do it well. So the third will not, because of that deduction, to say what? We should leave this. How about the other one? Rafsan Akibay. The third one is what? Shab. Because they believe it goes against other words of the hadith in other books. So this is their explanation. Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala referred separating. Sheikh bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala referred what? Bringing together. Just like Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. So this issue is not a big issue as well. The Lord has told you to see somebody praying and the person distances the 2 feet, you say, like my of course sunnah. He doesn't understand sunnah. Huh? These are not things to watch to separate us. They are issues that scholars of sunnah themselves be far on. You read the books of the fuqaha of Ahl Sunnah, you see them taking what? Different positions on this. Sheikh bin Baz was a teacher of Sheikh bin Uthaymeen. So Sheikh bin Uthaymeen did come from his teacher. So Sheikh bin Baz, rahmahullah ta'ala, in another explanation said, well, if one does that one, that if you bring your two legs together, your two feet together, no harm. But it is better you separate them. You get it? So, because when we read the words of Sheikh al-Albani, rahmahullah ta'ala, at times, some people go overboard in what in understanding the book. It's not that the shape is that ash, the way we see what. At times when you write, you may not be able to watch to go into details. Or you may know that, okay, these that I've chosen, other people have what? A different opinion on this particular matter. But this is what I've chosen. Just like what the author did now. He just mentioned some things, he didn't mention some things. So as students of knowledge, you have to cool down. So you pray behind Sheikh bin Baz, for instance. Huh? And you see him doing that, so Allah, I don't understand Sunnah. Why? Because he has done this. So this is what I'm pointing to. There are some things that is somebody that is very learned doing. But to you, because you have read one book, you conclude that what the person has done is what? In fact, you may say this person doesn't understand Sunnah. And that person is a great scholar, only that he has chosen a position different from the position of the scholar that you have read his own book. So this is what is something that is important. Another thing that is not mentioned, who can remind us? Okay? Now, where to be looking at when you are doing tashahud? So scholars will say you look at your finger when you are doing tashahud. Huh? When you are doing tashahud, you look at what? Your finger. How do you point the finger? Now, there is no doubt that you point the finger, you point the al-musabbiha, this they call al-musabbiha. Huh? Or as-sababa. As-sababa or al-musabbiha. So you point this. When you point this, there are two major ways of relating with the two, with the remaining fingers. So if you do like this, after pointing the index, sorry, the, what do you call it? The index finger. So after pointing the index finger, the little finger and the ring finger, both of them, you press against your palm. Now then you use the thumb and the middle finger to form what? Halqa. To form halqa. So this is in the description of the hadith of Wa'il bin Hujr, as contained in Sahih Muslim and some other books. So like this. So you press the little finger and the ring finger against your palm. Then you use the middle finger and the thumb to form a ring. And you point with the index finger, the sababa or the musabbiha. This is one way. So another way is to press all the remaining fingers. Yeah? You press them and you use the thumb. You play the thumb. That is, you bring all of them together like this. Then you point with the index finger. That is the little finger. With what? The little finger, the ring finger, the middle finger. All of them will be pressed against your palm. Then you press the thumb on them. Then you point with your index. So this is another way. And now are we in Al-Minhaj, the Sharh Sahih Muslim. So mention this. Yes, some scholars have some other explanation, but these two major ways of doing it. Now, do you leave it like this? Huh? Do you leave like this or you'll be shaking it? Now, we have the hadith of Wa'il bin Hujr that says what? Ashara bi usbu'ihi aw bi isba'ihi. So he pointed with the isba at the baba. This is pointing with the isba at the baba. Now, Ashara, he said was Ashara, he pointed. So this is the hadith of Wa'il bin Hujr. Now, we have one of the students, the one who reported it from Wa'il bin Hujr. So there was somebody called Asim bin Kulayb. Reported it from his father, their father reported it from Wa'il bin Hujr. Now, Asim bin Kulayb had a lot of students who reported the same hadith. So all of them, they reported with what? Ashara, Yushir, reported. However, there was somebody called what? Zaid ibn Qudama. Zaid ibn Qudama reported it with Yuharrikuha. Fara'aytuhu Yuharrikuha يدعو بها. That is Zaid ibn Qudama reported from Asim ibn Kulayb. Asim ibn Kulayb reported from his father, then from Wa'il ibn Hujr. But Wa'il ibn Hujr said, "What Fara'aytuhu, I saw the Messenger of Allah يحركها, moving the what? The index finger. يدعو بها, supplicating with it. يحركها يدعو بها. The other people also reported from what? Wa'il ibn Hujr. But the only mentioned was Ishara. Ashara, Yushir. They mentioned Ashara, Yushir. So, but in that of what? In the report of Zaid ibn Qudama now, he mentioned what? Fara'aytu yuharriku, yuharriku wa yad'u biha. So most scholars, they took towards Ishara. Most scholars took towards Ishara. Some scholars say what? Yuharrikuha. So those people who say Ishara, they said Zaid ibn Qudama riwayatuhu shadha. You know what is called shadha? Five people are saying something. Then one person is reporting from, five people are reporting something from a particular sheikh. Then one person who is also fiqh. He's reporting that same thing, that incident, was different. You get it now? So who are you going to take? Are you going to take the report of the five people and leave that of one, or you take the report of one and take that of what? Huh? And leave that of five. You take one, the report of one person, and leave that for five. So the scholars of hadith at times, I'm doing things like this, they may say this one is shad. That is when a fiqh is reporting something contrary to what others report have reported from the same teacher. So we are all human beings, so we can make mistakes. You say, as far as this matter is concerned, it means this what seeker has made what? A mistake. So this is what a lot of scholars will say, that the report of Zayd ibn Qudama is what? A shadda. Huh? So why the report of other students are what? Are the mahfudha. The one that is what? Mahfudha sahiha. A shadda is what? Shadda da'ifa. You get it now. So, I'm seeing this thing, where is this somebody doing tashahud and the person is just doing like this? Huh? The person does like this, or maybe like this, without shaking it. Without shaking it. So don't say the person doesn't understand, because they are very difficult to salat Nabi of Sheikh Al-Alwani. So there are other people who did not see it that way. Sheikh Al-Albani rahmahullah ta'ala believes that there is no shuzur in it. That we can reconcile between those who reported Ashara and those who reported what? Huh? And the one who reported Yuharikuha yad'u biha. What is the reconciliation? The Sheikh said Ishara. So indicate, take for instance, that like this. Huh? If I beckon to you by doing like this, what is that? Ishara. That is beckoning. Huh? Ishara is Ishara. They call it Ishara in Arabic language. As well. So if I'm doing like this, it does not mean what? I'm not pointing with it. So it is, I'm pointing with it, and at the same time, I'm what? I'm moving it. So the Sheikh said we can reconcile, and this is what the Sheikh did in his book, Tamam al-Minna. Tamam al-Minna. One of the students of Sheikh Mubil rahimahullah ta'ala in Damaj wrote a book on this particular issue. Huh? And he quoted that riwaya and supported others. So Sheikh Al-Albani, when he read that book, he refuted the book in what? In Tamam al-Minna. And as students of knowledge, when you read things like this, you are happy. Huh? You are happy. This is not a matter of fighting. You say this, somebody say this, no, prove it. So the Sheikh rahimahullah ta'ala refuted it, that is refuted that work and said what? Ishara, at-tahriq la yunafi al-ishara. Moving of the finger does not mean what? It doesn't contradict ishara. So you can reconcile. So some scholars they take this, some scholars they take this. Al-Muhim is that when you see people doing this, you know where they are coming from. As students of knowledge, you know, to relate with the lay people is very easy at times. You just tell them something and they go ahead to do. But once you want to pass the message of what you've been taught, you need extra caution. Because at times, what your teacher has not said, you say it. And this is what happens when people read the works of scholars. Maybe a scholar may not abuse another scholar when he's refuting that scholar. Tools of knowledge, they watch, they'll go overboard in abusing. And at times a scholar may be harsh on a matter. But you are tools of knowledge, having read what other scholars have said, you say this matter is not that harsh. Like when Sheikh Al-Albani rahmahullah ta'ala said, when you raise your head from ruku, and watch, you stand erect. Your hands, where are you going to put it? The Sheikh said, you put it. Because of what? Because of the hadith, حَتَّى يَرْجِعَ كُلُّ عَظْمٍ إِلَى مَوْضِعِهِ, until every bone goes back to their position. So the Sheikh said, watch. No. You have to watch, put down your hands. Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, watch. You bring back your hand to the chest. Why? Because of the hadith, the Messenger of Allah, who put his right hand, who watch, put his right hand on his left, left hand while he was in standing position in Salah. And the one who raises from raises his head from Ruku and he stands erect. Is that standing or what? Standing. Standing. So this makes Sheikh Ibn Baz Rahimahullah to say the position of Sheikh Al-Albani is wrong. This is something that is that was written, and people are reading it. And Sheikh Al-Albani also believes that that position of theirs is what? Is wrong. That position of theirs is wrong. So where I'm going is that Sheikh Al-Albani now said in one of the books, that is one of the editions, that Walastu Ashukku, I don't have that, and now Bid Adolala. It is Bid Adolala. So, you know, when you read things like this, you see people doing it, you know, students, maybe at the university, they fought one another, exchange blows because of things like this. Yeah. And no, they are not supposed to. Now, if I Sheikh Al-Bani said, well, after Ashuk Kuano Bid Adolala, does not mean what? The Sheikh is fighting with those who do it. The Sheikh in one of his states said, if you pray behind Sheikh Mumbaz, and Mumbaz does that, he will also do it. Because he's the Imam. And you know the Sheikh Al-Albani will say, well, follow your Imam. So I believe this is what the Ishihad of Sheikh Mumbaz Ta'ala has led him to. He will do it. Is that because he's doing it and ilmin, based on knowledge? Not somebody who is doing it and jahlin. This is the statement of Sheikh Al-Albani Ta'ala. But somebody who see an Imam that is doing that, and is ready to take him off, maybe fight him and things like that. I'm saying because we have seen a lot of things that have divided brothers in universities and the like. There are things that ordinarily, even the scholars themselves do not fight one another over. This will say is, this is what I'm convinced of. This same issue, Imam Ahmad Rahimahullah Ta'ala was asked, should he put back his hand on his chest when he gets rises from Ruku, or he should put it by the side. The Sheikh Al-Imam Ahmad said, if he does this, he's okay, and if he does this, he's what? It's okay. Because there is no clear text on it. There's no clear text on it. So, Sheikh Abdullah Al-Bastan, when he was discussing this, he said, the position of Sheikh Al-Albani is the correct position. But the Sheikh Abu Adha Al-Nuja'a, the Sheikh has what? It's explained what somebody has gone overboard in what? Say this in what? Bid'ah Dalala. What I'm trying to say is that at times you read clear scholars is ash on a position. So don't follow the ashness like that until you have read what other scholars have said on that same issue. With that, you have to, you'll be able to take a balanced position. So the issue becomes what? Rais or Yahtel Nukata. Wara'i ghayri khata yahtamilu sawab. My position is the correct position, though I may be wrong. The position of my of other people is wrong, huh? Though they may be wrong, it is right. So things like this are very important. So, fawallahu alam, as for movement of the finger, so at times I do it, at times I don't do it. Though I'm more convinced with the position of those who say the ziyada is what? Ishaad. So most of the time you may see me just pointing without moving. Huh? Don't see me as somebody who is what is against the sunnah. So this is where I'm convinced. I used to do it before. Before I was more convinced with the sunnah of Sheikh Al-Albani Rahimahullah Ta'ala. But later, I switched my position to the other position. Though at times I may do it. So, which other one? Which other thing? Huh? Now I'm doing the Taslim. I think you have talked about the issue of Taslim. Taslim is two, and that's the Sunnah. The scholars, they all agree that it is one that is part. The other one is what? It's Sunnah. The other one is Sunnah. Except for Ibn Hazm and some other who believe that you have to do two taslim. And except for Abu Hanifa who believe that what taslim is not compulsory. So that's why if you have performed Hajj before or you have performed Umrah, You see some people from Pakistan and the like. Who before the man say, Assalamu alaikum, the watch, they've gotten off. Have you observed that before? For those, eh? That some people, before the imam says Taslim, they've gotten off. And immediately the imam says, Assalamu alaikum, you see them observe what? Nafila. This you see, it happens to people from Pakistan and the like. They do this. So to them, once you do the tashahud, you do after you finish the tashahud. So to say assalamu alaikum is not compulsory sunnah to them. So this is what Abu Hanifa's position. But the other scholars they believe it is what it is compulsory to the but one is compulsory, not two. So Allah a'lam. Okay. You want to mention another thing? No, I'm touching the ground with the nose. What is, wallahu alam, what is more correct is what I mentioned, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La salata liman la yamassu anfuhu min al-ardi ma yamassu jadilu aw ma yamassu al-jadil. The one whose nose does not touch the ground the way the forehead touches the ground has no salah. And this is the same of Ibn al-Shaykh. However, a lot of scholars are of the opinion that a nose is not compulsory. But the one that is more correct is that we have to touch the ground with the nose. And this is the view of Sheikh Ibn Baz as well. Allah. Things that we didn't, that the author did not mention. But we, yes.
Regarding the index thing,
okay.
I will bring it down after the before.
Okay. Now, the one who was pointed the index finger, after he has concluded, should you bring it down or until he makes the slip? This will be clear or clearer when you are praying behind the imam who has not finished his own tashahud and you have finished yours. So what should you do? So Allah Alam, there is no clear text that says whether you should bring it down or you should. So if one brings it down, no arm. And if one stealing it like that, no arm. Allah Alam.
Now some practice that of hands wiping a child, if I'm through once in a while. Secondly, the whole work and jama'a, which one is more important?
Raising of the hand while supplicating. If one does it once in a while, yes, it's sunnah to do that when you supplicate. But when you supplicate in salah, for instance, you supplicate in salah, you don't raise your hands. That's why the father thought you are supplicating. When you are in tashahud, you do some supplication there, after tashahud. So you will say, Nabiya Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Sayyidina Allah, Hayyun Kareemun Yastahi Allah, Rafa al-Abdu Yadayi An Yarudda'u Masifra. You are not in tashahud, you now raise your hands. Why do you say this is the hadith? No. As you have been shown what to do where you are what in tashahud. Just like when the imam is on the minbar on the day of Jum'ah and he's supplicating. So the sunnah is that what you do like this. This is the sunnah. But when you say this is supplication of the imam, let me raise what? The hands. You don't raise your hands. So one of the companions saw one of the leaders was supplicating, so he now raised his hand, that is Umar, Bun Ruwayba, a companion, saw one of the ruler, Bishr bin Marwan, raising the hand. Taqabbal Allahu atayni biyadayhi. May Allah render these two hands ugly. فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَا يَزِيدُ عَلَى أَنْ يَقُولَ أَكَذَا. I've seen the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم not doing more than this. Huh? Not doing more than this. So it is bid'ah for you to raise hand while the Imam is supplicating on the day of on the minbar on the day of Jum'ah. So, but outside that, you can do that. That is areas where does not have what to do specifically. After Taslim, for instance, you want to supplicate if there is need for that. For you to do supplication. Yes, there are some azkar that have been recommended that you do after the skin at your mission. But I assume you cannot supplicate at all. Once in a while you can do that. Once in a while you can do that. But the sunnah is to do azkar after salah, not to do dua as the sunnah. But let's assume you want to do dua after salah. Should you raise your hand? If that happens once in a while, it's not something that you stick to. There is no harm in that, Allah. Well, somebody wants to pray at the right time, and the Salatul Jama'ah, which one is more important? It depends on what the authority, the questioner means by the Qulul Waqt. That is, for one to pray when the time comes in immediately, and for one to delay the Salah so as to pray what? Jama'ah. Though the time hasn't gone, it is better that you delay it to observe Jama'ah if the time hasn't gone. But if the time will go out, then it is compulsory you pray your own Salah. So the ruler, some of the rulers in the past, they will do this. They will delay Salah till the time of the Salah will go. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something that some of the rulers, that a time will call some of the rulers, he said, what, you are akhiruna Salah mawafitiha. In one of the reports, you may tuna Salah and mawafitiha. They will delay the Salah away from his time. And Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala commenting on him, said they will not pray at the right time. Not that they will delay the Salah to the right part, the later part of it. No, they won't pray at the right time. So he said what? With the companion Abu Darda also said, if this meeting, what should I say? Sadi Salah said, he worked here. You pray at the right time. When the rulers are praying, you pray with them. So that will work, nafila for you. Because the rulers are there and they will be the imam. And if they observe that you didn't pray with them, you are in trouble. And that's where some people are what? Are inciting people against the rulers of today. Some of the rulers of the past, some of them did something worse than what these people are doing. Some of them promoted kufu. They beat scholars in order to support kufu. Despite this, they did not revolt against them. But today, they just do when they say, okay, they are denying your rights. They are doing this. So what are you waiting for? Let's go and protest. You are going to Paris Square. All these men, your rights, Messenger of Allah has mentioned these things. That they will deny your rights. All these are what? In the text. And it happened in the past. Well, those rulers, they are going to meet Allah. And Allah will deal with them accordingly. Now for you to say you want to throw the whole country into pandemonium, into chaos because of this. So this is not the way of Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah. It is the way of the Khawarij. The first set of people to call for revolt against the rulers. So what I'm saying in essence is that if it is not that they will delay the Salah out of the time completely, then you can wait to pray with them. But if they will delay the time, the Salah beyond the time, then you have to pray. And alhamdulillah, nobody is forcing you. In your masjid, for instance, the masjid is very close to your place. Maybe they are not praying at the right time. Salatul Asr, for instance, they pray by 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock on the church, they establish Salah. Now, it is not yet time to pray Salatul Asr by 4 now. So you have to just for because of unity and the life. If you pray, you are wasting your time. If you don't pray with them, nobody will give it to you. There is no ruler that is coming to watch to fight you and is coming to watch to beat you. Somebody in your area built a mosque. Yes, he built mosque with his own money. No arm. So the mosque is not controlled by the government. And so if you don't pray, you are going to do so and so with you. So you don't need to pray with them. If you pray with them at that time, you are assisting them in evil. So you have to tell them, let them know. If you don't pray with them, you let them know the reason why you are not praying with them. So when they see that you are not praying with them, they know this man will pray with us only that what he has agreed with us on this particular. You don't need to fight them, but you tell them. So Allah. Subhanaka Allah Muhammad.
This question that you mentioned that
Now to me, their Salah is Batina. But to them, their Salah is what? Sahih. So Allah is going to judge him. Salat al Isha around 8:05, 8:07. Though I've said that you should not be asking the time of Salah. We have discussed how to get it. So you try and give me results too. I can also call you, what is the time for Salah? They started the Jama'ah before the time of Salah. Can you join them? No, you can't join them. You can't join them. I think they started maybe 3 minutes later, so the time for Salah comes in. Can you go and join them at that time? You can't join them. I think Kunut and the Maliki and the Shafi'iyya, they recommended Kunut in Subh. They recommended Kunut in Subh. So if you are behind such an Imam, if you can do the Kunut, you do the Kunut. According to Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, he doesn't support the Kunut. But if you pray behind an Imam that supports, when I say Imam now, take for instance a Maliki scholar or a Shafi'i scholar that supports Kunut, he said we should do it. But Namajil al-Imam, you tell Nabi. So the Sheikh, this is one of his fatwa. So if you can do, you do. Somebody asked him that, but it's not Sunnah. He said, okay, but you talk quiet when your Imam is. That was Sunnah. He said, no. He said, so this is your Imam, you follow him. Why if the Imam is doing something that is wrong, you don't join him? But if he's doing something that maybe his personal opinion and his own opinion is something that is allowed, I don't know how to put it, that it is permissible, in that case you can follow him. So putting the hands on the church, this according to most scholars is what? Is Sunnah. The Malikiya, they don't support putting hands on the church. This is what most Malikiya are upon. Most Malikiya, they're upon. So if you pray behind such a person, what should you do? You put the right hand on the what? On the left hand. You do it. Because even this will not be something that will make you delay from your Imam somehow. So you can do that. Allah.
Hold on. Sorry, there's one thing I want us to do. You know why we always say that you should like our questions? After asking this question, if you start to understand what you are asking, that just goes ahead and answers the question. So it is better that we write it. If you want to read it, you will know the question that we start answering. So by just reading our answer, just answering the question, or just, you know, someone just begins to come up here, it's not organized, that number one. Number two is that people on the sister side do not understand. And thirdly is that the people who came later will not understand where we are headed here. You know, who saw it? Do you understand? So it's better that we write those questions. That will go, and that's also going to save our time. You know, by writing those questions, we save our time. Inshallah, let's stop here today. Let's try and write our questions so that everything will be better organized. SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah.
SubhanAllah.
Okay.
No, come on. Come on.